Thought for today. Our fire of enthusiasm is our inner winner. Our fire of enthusiasm is our inner winner. Our fire of enthusiasm is our inner winner. Would you believe that?
Yes.
Our fire of enthusiasm. When we have enthusiasm for anything, we can accomplish it. Enthusiasm might be interpreted in many ways. One interpretation for enthusiasm might be excitement. When Anita walks up to the horse and she's thinking of going for a ride, she's enthusiastic about it. And then when the stud comes by and says, "Hey, why don't you ride me?" And she says, oh, no, her excitement is very heavy. And she says, oh, no, I'm not ready for you yet, Dad. And she just stays with the mare. And she climbs on her horse, and she rides her horse gently, lovingly, and perfectly. The excitement of the stud would be an entirely different thing, because that horse, she's not familiar with it. She's not familiar with what sort of commands he has. And quite likely, if Anita would get her act in order, and if she would say, "I am the master of every horse in my world, and every horse knows it. Every horse knows it." And then she would go to the horse and have the excitement and enthusiasm of riding, not of fearfulness of, "What will that horse do? I'm not sure about that horse. I'm not sure." And when you're not sure of something, you allow that insecurity to take place, and you allow that feeling of lack of confidence to overwhelm you. And the animals know it very quickly, don't they? They very quickly know these things, and so we have to be careful. It's the same with dogs. You walk up to a dog and you're fearful of the dog knows it. And he's going to feel that you are indecisive. You don't know. He doesn't know what you're going to do. If he knows you like dogs, if the dog knows you like dogs, he senses that right away. A crook can come into somebody's house and rob their house. And if he likes the dog will go and lick them and take him things. "Hey, you forgot a diamond ring over here. You forgot something over here." And because the dog says, "You're my buddy. You know, you're a nice guy. You like dogs. You must be wonderful. You must be great in everything you do." And that's true. That's true. Now, why is the guy a crook? That's another story. But he loves dogs. And so the dogs are not offensive to him. And he loves everybody else. And so nobody is offensive to him. You see, when you really love yourself, even when you do something that's wrong, something the world thinks is wrong, you're almost exonerated in the very act of doing what you're doing, because you love yourself. However, when you don't love yourself and you're doing something wrong, you have to look behind your back, because that enthusiasm is going to breed attention from other people being doubtful about what you're doing there, who you are, what's going on. Our fire of enthusiasm brings us to the peak of success in anything that we do. It brings us to the joy of success in anything that we do. It brings us to mastership. Enthusiasm brings us mastership? Yes, it does. Do you know why it does? Because we are in love with the dog. We love the dog. And the dog thinks we're very nice and we're very wonderful because we love the dog. When we love ourselves, and we love being a master and all that we understand a master to be, being a master will be as natural as can be. Being a master will be the simplest, most beautiful, most easy accomplishment we've ever made. But if we have any trepidation, any concern, any worry about being a master, we're not sure that we want to be a master, and you're not. None of you are sure that you want to be a master. And the reason that you're not sure you want to be a master, you don't know what's going to happen to your love of your parents, your love of yourself, your love of your world, your relationships. You're not sure. When you're a master, what's going to happen to those? Are they going to be out the window? And you sort of say, no way. We had this little boy in Switzerland who had a black cloud in his consciousness. And this black cloud caused him to do things that were not pleasant for the rest of the family. And Ellen and I worked with him, and the black cloud was dispersed. But he went back to the same family who expected the black cloud there, who had the attitudes that birthed that cloud in his experience. And when we went back a year or so later, he had the black cloud back. And we said, why have you done that? He said, that was my only friend. You see, you sometimes walk away from your mastership program because being human is your only friend. Being human is the thing you know best. It's a thing that you have grown accustomed to, and you feel very comfortable with it. And to give it up is very difficult. Cosmetic surgery can be the same thing. A person can have a facelift, and from looking dowdy and looking floozy with their face all dragging because they had a problem of some sort. And then the cosmetic surgeon gives them this beautiful new face. And they come out and they say, it's not so pretty, it's not this. You see, they have the same attitude, and soon they will have the same old face again. They say cosmetic surgery lasts for maybe 10 years. Well, on a person who has an attitude like that, it could last maybe a month or two. And you have the same thing back again. So, when you go toward being a master, and you have the enthusiasm to go toward it, but you have the trepidation in your heart, you have the doubt in your heart that it's really where you want to go, because are you going to still enjoy your friends? Can you have a beer now and then? Can you go out and go dancing? Can you do that when you're a master? And what is the answer?
Yes.
Certainly. What happens when you're a master? You don't care. If you go, fine. If you don't go, fine. If you go, you have fun. If you don't go, you don't worry about it. If you're surrounded by friends, that's fine. If you're not surrounded by friends, that's fine. See, a master is untouched. It's not that a master doesn't have these experiences. It's that he's untouched by them. And you are touched by them at the moment. When a friend says to you, I'm sorry, I can't go. But you promised you'd go, and I will, depending on you, to go with me. Why can't you go? Because I can't go. Well, why can't you go? Because your mother told me if I went with you to that dance that she'd not let me in your house again. I didn't want to tell you that. But your mother threatened me. And so therefore, I can't come in your house again if I go with you tonight. And I want to come in your house again because I like you and I want to be with you. You know, and you see, we like those emotions. Oh, you're so wonderful. You would give up going to that for me. And so you could stay coming in my house because my mother said you couldn't come if you didn't. You're wonderful. Oh, what a friend you are. You see, emotions, you know, manipulation, wonderful. When we let go of these things, a lot of what we call the charm, the beauty, the drama of life is missing. But there are some other things that come in that we cannot see at the moment. That we cannot see. Could you, just for instance, could you walk down the street and go into the store, and you're talking to the clerk, and the clerk puts forth her armless or handless arm, and you shake her handless arm. Could you, as a master, see that hand there and that hand be there, pluck, right away, and she would never know that she lost it? There'd be no credit to you, because she would never know that she didn't have it. And she'd have it. She'd have that hand and could enjoy it, because you create people in your world who have their hands, if that's your choice. You understand me? What joy would there be in healing that lady, in bringing about the hand to that lady where her hand was missing, when she wouldn't even know it, when she wouldn't even be able to say, oh, thank you, oh my goodness, what can I do to say thank you, you're so wonderful, oh my goodness, you're so thankful, you know? Our fire of enthusiasm is our winner. Our enthusiasm is just doing it because it's a joy to do it, not because it has to be done. The woman was perfectly happy without her hand. She was going about, she stuck her handless arm out there to shake with you, unconsciously, not even thinking that you don't want to grab a hold of this stub out there. But why, what's wrong with the stub? The hand is missing, that's all. And then you speak your word, or you think your thought, or you do whatever you do as a master, and click, it's there. But she never remembers that she was without a hand. She has no appreciation for the fact that now she has a hand where before she didn't. No appreciation. Oh, no appreciation. And you see, as a master, you don't care. You don't care. Can you imagine Jesus wanting appreciation for all the people that he worked with? Taking this in a little other genre here, can you imagine a doctor wanting appreciation for all the patients that he worked with that lived and were healed? Oh, doctor, doctor, I owe you my life. Oh, doctor, I owe you my life. Well, you paid for it. I owe you this. You don't owe me nothing. You paid for it. Insurance paid for it, whatever. But you see what I'm saying? We are so tied up in this human attitude of needing appreciation, of needing respect, of needing a recognition of what has happened, that we cannot conceive of how it would be as a master where that would not exist, because it would not be known that we did something that was not done before. We would know it. Hey, you would know it. As a master, you'd know it. For an instant. And then you wouldn't know it either. You could not know it, because if you knew it, the hand would be missing again. You understand? If you knew it, the hand would be missing again. Now, this is such a tough thing for humans to understand, because we want to have recognition. We want to have appreciation. Now go give your auntie a kiss for that dime that she gave you. Yeah. We've been taught this all of our life. Our fire of enthusiasm is our winner. To do and be done. To do and be done. I read a story. Leo Iacocca. You know Leo Iacocca, the head of Chrysler, who put it back on his feet? Leo Iacocca was chief executive and president of Ford Motor Company for 6 years. And on the sixth year, that is at the end of the sixth year, he came to work. And he was told that his office is out in the warehouse, in a little tiny desk and a chair. And he's told to go find work someplace else. They fired him. The chief of Ford Motor Company. And presumably he didn't know that. But they fired him. The board of directors just said, we're getting somebody else in here. We're not making our buck. And so then what did he do? He got hired on by Chrysler as their president. Because they were drowning. They were going right down the hill. And he brought them back. Brought them right up to the top. He did things with Chrysler. What did he have to lose? He'd already been fired. He'd already been kicked out. He'd already lost his good name as a president and CEO. You know, he's dumped by Ford Motor Company. So the only thing that's left for him to do is just have fun and play a game. And so he did that with Chrysler. And he went to the federal government and borrowed from the federal government $6 billion, more or less. And he paid it all back before it was due. Can you imagine that? Which is honor supreme. But in the process, he built up Chrysler to its magical fame of today. And then he retired recently and left it for somebody else to play with. Do you remember that he was president of Ford Motor Company? You probably didn't even know it. Do you remember that he was kicked out of Ford Motor Company and fired? I hadn't heard that. Do you remember that when he went to Chrysler, Chrysler was down on the skids? Yeah, I heard about that. And that within a few years, he brought it right up to the top, one of the top companies in the country. Not just Chrysler, but it's the whole configuration of motor companies. Fantastic. Now, who remembers those things? And who cares? Only newspaper writers or magazine writers or story writers. All we care about, which we don't even really care about, is that Mr. Iacocca, who was of immigrant parents, who had nothing when they came here and started out, that he was a great man of integrity. Most of it we remember, and even that we don't remember, that he took a great loan from the federal government. He talked them into giving his company a loan of such magnitude as never been seen in the world before. And of course now it's done because a billion isn't that much money anymore. But he made them famous and he paid it back. See, our fire of enthusiasm is a winner. And that's what he was doing. He had the fire of enthusiasm about him. But his fire of enthusiasm was to have fun and be himself. And you appreciate that. Bill Gates' fire of enthusiasm is to have fun and be himself. Bill Gates is not interested in making money. He never was. He told his father he didn't want his help. His father was a successful insurance agent. They did it themselves. They scrounged the money to put together their first projects. And step by step, they built it. And everyone who was with Bill Gates from his fledgling beginning until 10 years later is a multimillionaire. Everyone. From the clerks to the warehouse people to the people who were working in the software departments, on the computers, to the secretaries, all of them. No company can make that statement of what they have done for their people. See, the fire of enthusiasm is the winner. He believed in his company, and he engendered that belief in his people, and they believed with him. And they invested their money with him. They took part of their salary and put it back in stocks and bonds to support the company, to help it grow and build. They had enough to live on. They were paid handsomely. But they put it back in the company because they believed in Bill and they believed in what was going on. And all of them have become multimillionaires and are living quite handsomely today. The fire of enthusiasm is the real winner. It helps us to accomplish anything we want to do. Now, we can go back to our statement of a few minutes ago. The fire of enthusiasm will help us be a winner to be a master, if that is your choice. If that is your choice. But on your path, on your awareness, see, the path of awareness, it's not any certain number of miles or days or months or stuff like that. It's just a path of awareness. On your path of awareness, you will have to put aside other things. In Illusions, Richard Bach writes, our real family is not that of our own flesh and blood, but of those who care about us and stand behind us as we find ourselves. That's our real family. I like to think that here at the monastery, we are your real family. who stand behind you as you light the fire of enthusiasm under your spiritual goal, under your spiritual path, under your spiritual direction. And then as you walk in the awareness of who you are, that we will strengthen you in that conclusion so that you don't fall back and become human again. Not that there's anything wrong with being human. I don't ever want to put out the concept that I believe that being human or being law-abiding or being anything is wrong. All I'm saying is, as you walk your spiritual path, you know that it is you that's in charge. You know that it's you that makes the decision. It's you that makes the determination of how you're going to accomplish it. And it's you that keeps your mind clean and clear and sharp and crisp on the concept that you are God, that you are all, that you are the creator of your world, that you are wonderful, that you are magnificent. Now, it's easy to fall off of that awareness. Very easy to fall off, because somebody will write you a letter and say, "Oh, you have made us feel terrible," you know. And then I look at the letter I wrote that made them feel terrible, and I think to myself, yes, I did. I was insensitive even to the slightest amount of how that could be taken another way. I meant it with all my love, with all my being. And it will be taken that way. But meanwhile, they have an opportunity to wake up in themselves, to light the fire of enthusiasm under themselves, and not fall into the trap that they had. You see, Australia fell into the trap of thinking their dollars had slid to the bottom and they were in trouble. New Zealand hasn't had that experience, but they have gone through other experiences. And I wasn't working with New Zealand. In Guyana, they have the difficulty of their government being a usurper government. And we're putting a new cause in motion, that it is a giving government. In Nigeria, they have a usurper government, a little more threatening than elsewhere, but we're putting in motion that it's a giving government. It's now a government that wants the people to have schools, have television, to have roads, to have hospitals, to have all the public utilities that make life charming. And this point above all, the nation of Nigeria wants the people to be a free people, to be able to come and go as they wish, and not live under a type of communist state where they cannot leave the country. You see, Russia went through some pretty tough things to find out that that didn't work. And they had to change a lot of their government attitudes. And the people still love Russia, which is a wonderful thing. But they are now more free. Not totally, but they're more free. Nigeria can be free. All these other countries can be free. Zimbabwe can be a free country too. It's going through internal strife right now, but we see it in balance. The fire of enthusiasm is our winner. We're putting these causes in motion for these places. You say, "Well, Herb, why are you mentioning them?" I'm mentioning them as a fact. They're just a fact. It's a fact that that's the way they are expressing at the moment. And we can make a new fact. And we can see them expressing differently. Just like Ellen's son, the fact was his grade in school was slipping. And the teacher called his mother and father in to talk to him. And they said, "My son, the genius, my son, the genius." And the teacher says, "Maybe I should readdress the boy's records and his learning ability." And he ended up a genius. He ended up top of his class. Now, that's a fact. It's just a fact. It's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It's just a fact. But do you want to, with your fact, put the cause in motion that the person has a hand and no credit? Do you want to put the cause in motion that Australia has a sound financial system that is benefiting the country? Do you want to put in motion that Guyana is the paradise of the world where people all over the world choose to come to like they might the Canary Islands or Barbados? Why not? It's just a matter of getting a different attitude about the country, a different attitude about the government. Is it the paradise of the world? I say yes. What do you say? You want to fight me about it? Give me a hard time and say, well, look at the appearances. Well, look at the appearances of this little person who's 2 years old. I see this little person who is, when he's 43 years old, as president of the United States. I see this little person that when he is 18 years old, he is a multi-billionaire because he came up with some thought and he put it into process and sold it and he became instantly wealthy. What would he ever do to do that? Well, look at DOS. Look at Microsoft. That's in our lifetime. That's in a very short period of time. That's in a period of 10, 30 years. It's nothing. And it's in a period of 10 years that it grew fabulously. Now it's just fabulous, fabulous. So, set the fire of enthusiasm under any dream you have and watch that dream manifest. Watch that dream flood forth like a beautiful skyrocket that lightens the sky and sends forth all of its glowing embers. Let the fire of enthusiasm under you bring miracles into your life. Are you ready for such a thing? You can have it. Don't let any of the illusions stop you. Let the illusions merely be the springboard. The diving board, the springboard that shoots you forward into success. You can do it. Now, what is it that you're going to set the fire of enthusiasm on so that you can be a winner? What is it? Is it your relationships? Is it your world? Is it your business? Is it being a master? Is it being on the spiritual path? Is it being whatever it is? And it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever it is that excites you, you can have it. But just remember, it's so easy to take the appearance and forget that which stands behind it. It's so easy to take the golden egg and say, here, I have a golden egg worth $1 billion, and not realize right here is where did the egg come from? I can have the egg or the goose. And so I take the goose, and the goose lays golden eggs by the dozen for me and lays all of its life. And I have a glorious experience with the golden eggs. I can have a glorious experience with the one egg. And that's the egg of being human, living in your human life, having a wonderful human world. But being the goose, I presume goose is feminine, but being the goose that lays the golden eggs, well, what is it called, a gants when it's a male, something like that. But being the goose that lays the golden eggs, you'll have all of this enthusiasm, all of this joy, all of this success, as long as you retain that goose. So hang on to that goose. Let that goose be laying golden eggs for you all of your life. And that goose that lays the golden eggs is called what? It's called your imagination. It's called your wildest dream. It's called who you are. It's exciting. It's exciting. Our fire of enthusiasm is our winner. Our fire of enthusiasm is our winner. It always will be that way. Our fire of enthusiasm is our winner. Go for it. I love you.